We celebrate today, on this second Sunday of Easter, the beautiful solemnity of Divine Mercy Sunday, and how fitting our Lord's request was, of course, that the readings perfectly conform to the meaning of this feast. Remember that the disciples had all left Jesus except for John. They had all abandoned him. They had all, in fear, fled at that hour when he was crucified and had abandoned him, even Peter denying him three times. And yet Jesus, when he first appears to them together, he does not rebuke them or question them, "Why do you abandon me? Why were you not with me in my hour of agony? Why did you not give witness to me?" But he says the contrary. He says, "Peace be with you." He greeted them with words of peace. Even though they had been unfaithful, they had fled in fear, they did not give witness to them, to him, he greeted them with words of peace. "Peace be with you." And then he gave them the power to forgive sins. And this is where the institution of the sacrament of confession is. He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you retain, they are retained." Giving the apostles that power in his name to forgive sins, to bring healing to souls who turn to, who come to that sacrament to obtain the mercy and forgiveness of God. And divine providence had it that Thomas was not present when this all happened. And Thomas, of course, we know, had the famous nickname of being the doubter, not believing in the words that the other apostles said. And Jesus, appearing again to the apostles, tells Thomas to put his finger in the holes in his hands and his hand in his side. And Thomas then says that exclamation, "My Lord and my God." Truly, for us, our sake, Thomas gave this testimony of faith, having his disbelief turn into belief and joy. Today we are filled with joy on this great solemnity of Divine Mercy, and I, for one, count down the days every year for this day, knowing how great is this gift to God, from God, how great God's mercy is, and how extraordinary this gift is for our times. And of course, I was thinking, why did God give this great grace now, that by going to confession today, or if not today, the day before, some days before, and receiving Holy Communion, our Lord promised a complete pardon of the punishment due to sin, that whoever would go to confession and Holy Communion on this day would be granted complete forgiveness of sins and the punishment due to sin. An extraordinary grace that never has this been. Of course, the Church has indulgences which we can gain throughout the year, but this is an extraordinary grace that our Lord has made it so easy for us. And of course, we see how in our time, all around us is raging the godlessness of this world and the rejection of all that is holy and sacred and true, and how perhaps more than any other time in history, how difficult it is to be faithful in the midst of so much materialism and worldliness and immorality, that Jesus gives us in his mercy for us to turn back to him and to help us to be faithful to him in such difficult times. But with this, our Lord also revealed to St. Faustina, "My daughter, tell the whole world about my inconceivable mercy. I desire that on the Feast of Mercy, that the Feast of Mercy be a refuge and a shelter for souls, and especially for poor sinners." Our Lord loves sinners. He has such compassion for them, and he's always waiting for us. No matter how great our sins are, he is waiting for us in the sacrament of confession to forgive us. He is eager for us to come and eager to bestow that pardon for our fault, for our sins. "On that day, the very depth of my tender mercy are open. I pour out a whole ocean of graces upon those souls who approach the fount of my mercy. The souls that will go to confession and receive Holy Communion shall obtain complete forgiveness of sins and punishment. On that day, all the divine floodgates through which graces flow are opened. Let no soul fear to draw near to me, even though its sins be as scarlet. And even and this is such an important thing. Jesus told Saint Faustina at another time that one of the greatest sorrows we cause him is not trusting in his mercy. When we don't trust in his mercy, it causes him great sorrow, that we think that our sins are so great that God cannot forgive us, or that we think that our sins are so great that we are ashamed. First of all, we should never be afraid to go to confession. The priest never thinks badly of us, and he's rejoicing as Jesus is rejoicing that a sinner has come to the sacrament. And Jesus is eager to forgive. He is waiting. But the devil causes people to be afraid, causes them fear that their sins are so great, so horrible that they won't be forgiven, or they're afraid to say those sins. God is so merciful. He is always eager to forgive us. And let us not ever let the devil keep us from going to confession. Let us not let the devil hold us back from attaining the mercy of God. My mercy is so great that no mind, be it as of a man or of an angel, will be able to fathom it throughout all eternity. Everything that exists has come forth from the very depth of my most tender mercy. Every soul in its relation to me will contemplate my love and mercy throughout eternity. The feast of mercy emerged from my very depth of my tenderness. And, of course, when you look at that image of divine mercy, you see tenderness. You see the gentleness of Jesus. You see his eagerness for us to approach him. He does not appear as someone who is not approachable or fearful, but you see in the image tenderness and mercy, eager to come beckoning us to draw near to him. It is my desire that it be solemnly celebrated on the first Sunday after Easter. Mankind will not have peace until it turns to the fount of my mercy. Now, there's a few things that we should reflect upon today. We're obtaining great mercy from God, and we rejoice in the gift of his mercy, but we also have a response in our own life in being merciful. And so Jesus also said that we are not only to receive the mercy that I demand from you. He said to Saint Faustina, deeds of mercy which are to arise out of love for me. You are to show mercy to your neighbor always and everywhere. You must not shrink from this or try to excuse or absolve yourself from it. So the Lord wants us also, as we receive mercy today, to do works of mercy. And I am giving you three ways of exercising mercy towards your neighbor. And of course, there are the corporal works of mercy, feeding the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, shelter the homeless, comfort the prisoners, visit the sick, bury the dead. And then there are spiritual works of mercy. Teach the ignorant, pray for the living and the dead, correct sinners, counsel those in doubt, console the sorrowful, bear wrongs patiently, forgive wrongs willingly. So these are the spiritual and corporal works of mercy that we are to strive in whatever capacity we can to fulfill them. Jesus said many souls are often worried because they do not have the material means with which to carry out acts of mercy. Yet spiritual mercy, spiritual acts which require neither permissions nor storehouses, is much more meritorious and is within the grasp of every soul, so that even if we're not able to feed the hungry or to do the corporal works of mercy, all of us in some way can do the spiritual works of mercy. We pray for the living and the dead. We can all pray for poor sinners. We can all pray for loved ones and family members and for the poor souls suffering in purgatory. This feast day also has with it, our Lord wanted this devotion to be promulgated. He said, "Speak to the world about my mercy. Let all men recognize my unfathomable mercy." And this is interesting what our Lord says. It is a sign for the end times. After it will come the day of justice. While there is still time, let them have recourse to the fount of my mercy. Let them profit from the blood and water which gush forth for them. Before I come as a just judge, I first open wide the doors of my mercy. He who refuses to pass through the doors of my mercy must pass through the doors of my justice. And so, of course, all things are in God's time, and we can't in any way make a judgment on what our Lord means about the day of justice, when that is actually going to happen. But he's certainly telling us that we should be preparing ourselves, we should be getting ready, and that could be, even if it's hundreds of years away from now, that we should be striving to live in his mercy by repenting from sin and striving to change our life in following him, that this is a time of great mercy, and that we need to take advantage of this great gift given to us. And I'd just like to also, it's interesting that Jesus asked when the image, he told St. Faustina about the image, to have the words, "Jesus, I trust in you" on it. This is a very important part of divine mercy. Of course, that we are always reminded to trust Jesus, no matter how great our sins may be, that we trust his mercy. We trust his forgiveness in the sacrament of confession. We trust that he will pardon us and forgive us. But it also applies to every aspect of our day-to-day life. The problems of day-to-day life, I must remind myself, "Jesus, I trust in you." If it's my health, "Jesus, I trust in you." If it's I'm looking for a job, "Jesus, I trust in you." If I'm discerning a vocation in life, "Jesus, I trust in you." If I'm trying to find a spouse, "Jesus, I trust in you." When life seems difficult, unbearable, and darkness surrounds us, "Jesus, I trust in you." And we must say these words in being open to the gift of life when a child is conceived, and for couples to be open to children, "Jesus, I trust in you." Do not be afraid to receive children from God. Do not be afraid when a child is conceived. God has a plan for that child from all eternity. If we only trust in God's plan and trust in Jesus, we will see that this is a gift from God. "Jesus, I trust in you." When carrying special crosses, and this is especially pertinent to our times, especially I'd like to make mention to people who suffer from same-sex attraction. "Jesus, I trust in you." It's a special cross they carry. They need to recognize the world is telling them one way, but Jesus is telling them another way, that I have to carry this cross and be faithful to Jesus. I have to carry this cross, living a life of grace, not indulging what I'm experiencing. I have to carry this cross saying, "Jesus, I trust in you." And that's the same with another thing we see so much in society now, gender identity. People thinking that they should be in another body. We must say, "Jesus, I trust in you. I can't change my body. I can't change who I am created by God. I have to carry this cross for love of Jesus. Jesus, I trust in you." When a spouse dies, because I know this from relatives and friends, the difficulty and sorrow and the difficulty that goes when one is widowed, "Jesus, I trust in you." When persecuted for the faith, and I especially think of our brothers and sisters in Iraq and Syria, they have to say also, "Jesus, I trust in you." That even in such difficulty and persecution, Jesus is there with them. And if it should ever come to our own nation or other nations, Jesus, I trust in you, that Jesus will give me the strength to bear that suffering of being persecuted for my faith in him. And even if it should mean that I am tortured or face death, Jesus, I trust in you. And we should also say this when we're ill or near death, trying to think that when a modern times is saying to escape suffering, to be euthanized, I must trust Jesus. Jesus, I trust in you. If we only saw that most of the moral problems in our life and in our world boil down to a lack of trust in Jesus. We're not trusting him. And if we only trusted him and used the graces he gives us through the sacraments, through prayer, through his church, we would be able to bear all crosses, all trials, all difficulties with courage and with great confidence. And without any doubt, I know that we can truly say that this great gift given to us today from the church, this gift given to us from God of divine mercy, without any doubt, of course, comes through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, the Mother of Mercy. She is the mediator of all graces. And of course, this great grace we experience today of having complete forgiveness for our sins and the punishment due to sin is obviously there's a great connection to Our Lady, who is the Mother of Mercy and who interceded to her Son for this special gift to be given to the world at this time. So let us give thanks to God today for this great gift of divine mercy, this great gift which we have been blessed with at this time of history in the church, and this extraordinary grace that has never been given before. And how can we correspond to this grace best? In thanking God, first of all, for this great gift, but also by striving to live faithfully in his mercy, by striving to avoid sin. Let us see that Jesus, above all, wants us in receiving mercy, also receive the courage to say no to sin, to be faithful to him, and to follow him heroically and courageously. May our Blessed Mother, the Mother of Mercy, give us all that grace today to truly live in the mercy of God and to always be confident of that mercy. And above all, with our hearts and our lips, we may always say, Jesus, I trust in you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.